They sold a million. The subject of this month's podcast from American Sound Archives. The band and the recording that truly ushered in the 30-year reign of the popular dance band in America. That was Ben Selvin and his Novelty Orchestra with their 1919 million-selling Victor recording of Dardanella. 9 months later, the Victor Company hit pay dirt again when Paul Whiteman and his newly formed California Ambassador Orchestra had a hit with the Vincent Rose tune, Whispering.
Thank you.
Isham Jones and his orchestra with their 1921 million-selling Brunswick recording of Wabash Blues. Jones led one of the finest dance bands in the 1920s and wrote many hits of the day, most notably It Had to Be You and I'll See You in My Dreams. From 1920 to 1925, he recorded scores of records for the company, and his band also provided accompaniment for many of the Brunswick stars, including Marion Harris and Al Jolson. Jones left Brunswick to record for the Victor label in 1932, but unfortunately, due to the Great Depression, his records sold poorly. In the mid to late 1930s, he recorded with Decca and the rather obscure Coast Records, but finally disbanded in 1938. He retired from music in the 1940s and resided on his poultry farm in Colorado, which he occasionally left for short tours with pickup bands. He later resided in Los Angeles and then moved to Hollywood, Florida in 1955 and died there of cancer October 19, 1956. The Old 97 was a Southern Railway train, officially known as the Fast Mail. It ran from Washington, D.C. to Atlanta, Georgia. On September 27, 1903, while en route from Monroe, Virginia to Spencer, North Carolina, the train derailed at the Stillhouse Trestle near Danville, Virginia. Originally, this ballad was attributed to Fred Jackson Louis and co-author Charles Knowles. Louis claimed to have written the song the day after the accident in which his cousin, Albion Clapp, was one of the two firemen killed aboard the ill-fated train. Louis also claimed to be on the scene of the accident, pulling the victims from the wreckage. The wreck of the old 97 served as an inspiration for balladeers. Virginia musician Henry Whittier subsequently polished the original lyrics and was the first to commercially record the song for OK Records in 1923. The version heard here by Vernon Dalhart was released in 1924 and is generally cited as the first million-selling country music release in the American record industry. The song became a runaway hit, eventually selling over 7 million copies, and alerted the major record companies to the existence of a sizable market for country-style recordings. The Wreck of the Old 97 was honored with the Grammy Hall of Fame Award in 1998, and the Recording Industry Association of America named it one of the songs of the century in 1999.
Put you wise, that's a bird in disguise, a bird called Piccolo.
Ted Weems and his orchestra were among one of the most popular dance bands during the 1920s. Weems organized his first band in 1922 with the aid of his brother, and the following year the group had its first hit with Somebody Stole My Gal. The orchestra moved to Chicago in 1929, and the Windy City remained its primary base of operations throughout its lengthy career. The band recorded Piccolo Pete that same year, and it was soon a major hit throughout the country. The band enjoyed a wave of popularity, which lasted until 1941, when Weems dissolved the group after he joined the Merchant Marines to fight in World War II. In 1947, the band reorganized and enjoyed an unlikely hit when its original 1933 recording of Heartaches became a favorite on a North Carolina radio station. The band made a re-recording of the tune for Decca and launched it once again to national success. By the middle of the following decade, the Weems Orchestra had disbanded, and Ted himself was working as a disc jockey in Memphis, Tennessee. He died in Tulsa, Oklahoma on May 6, 1963.
por el pico divertir, comete un cucurruchito de mamé. Calentico y rico está, ya no se puede pedir más. Ay, caserita, no me dejes ir, porque después te vas a arrepentir y va a ser muy tarde ya. Manicero se va. Manicero se va. Caserita, no te acuestes a dormir sin comerte un cucurrucho de mamé. Cuando la calle sola está, casera de mi corazón. La niña escucha su cantar, llama desde su balcón. Dame de tu mami, dame de tu mami. Esta noche no voy a poder dormir sin comerme un cucurrucho de mamé. Me voy.
Juan Espiazu was a leading Cuban band leader in the 1920s and 30s. His band introduced authentic Cuban dance music to a wide audience in the United States. It was his Havana Casino Orchestra which went to New York in 1930 and recorded one of the biggest hits in Cuban music history, The Peanut Vendor. Although the country was reeling from the Great Depression, the record still sold over a million copies at 75 cents a disc. While Espiazu used North American singers such as Bob Burke or Chick Bullock to help popularize the genre, it is Cuban singer Antonio Machin who provided the vocals on this recording. And we once again heard from Ted Weems and his orchestra with their original 1933 Bluebird recording of Heartaches, with the whistling chorus being done by Elmo Tanner. The band made this recording August 14, 1933.
Please let me explain the mere bits to shame. means you'll reign. For me, a bit of shame. Again, I'll explain. It means you're the fairest in the land. I could say Bella, Bella, even seven derbar. Each language only helps me tell you how grand you are. I've tried to explain, by mere best of shame. So kiss me and say you understand. Before, but let me try to explain. By me a bit to shame means that you're grand. By me a bit to shame, it's such an old refrain, and yet I should explain. It means I am begging for your hand. I could say Bella, Bella, even seven to bar. Each language only helps me tell you how.
A little yellow basket.
Marie is one of the best examples of the Tommy Dorsey Band at its finest. The song started out as a waltz written by Irving Berlin for an early sound movie called The Awakening that had music but no spoken dialogue. Dorsey got the idea for recording the tune while appearing at Nixon's Grand with the Sunset Royal Serenaders, whose vocalist performed the song while the band chanted phrases behind. After the show, Dorsey sent his manager, Bobby Burns, and arranger Paul Weston to the Serenaders to trade some arrangements to get Marie, and they were thrown out. Dorsey then told Weston, "Then you write it." Weston did, and this hit version of Marie was recorded January 29, 1937. We then heard By Mir Bist Du Shein, which was a popular Yiddish song composed by Jacob Jacobs and Shalom Secunda for a 1932 musical comedy titled I Would If I Could. In 1937, Sammy Kahn heard a performance of the song at the Apollo Theater in Harlem and afterward bought the rights to the song from Secunda for a mere $30 so he could rewrite the song with English lyrics. Kahn then convinced the still unknown Andrew Sisters to perform the song, and it became their first major hit and thrust them into the national spotlight. Over time, the song grossed some $3 million, with Secunda and Jacobs missing out on significant royalties. In 1961, the copyright on the song expired, and the ownership reverted back to Secunda and Jacobs, who signed a contract with T.B. Harms and secured proper royalties. And we closed out the set with the Chick Webb Orchestra featuring Ella Fitzgerald. She began her extraordinary career as a young teen, winning an amateur singing contest at the famous Apollo Theater in Harlem. Drummer and bandleader Chick Webb happened to be in attendance at the Apollo that evening, and shortly thereafter asked the shy 16-year-old Ella to join his orchestra. In the beginning, Webb originally featured Ella on only about half of his selections, but after they hit it big in 1938 with the novelty hit A Tisket a Tasket, she was never absent from the bandstand. After a career of over 60 years, she died quietly at home in Beverly Hills at the age of 79.
It's my day. Bend an ear and listen to my version
of a really solid Tennessee excursion.
Pardon me, boy, is that the Chattanooga Juju?
Yes, yes, track 29.
Boy, you can give me a shine.
Can you afford to board Chattanooga Choo-Choo?
I got my fare
and just a trifle to spare.
You leave the Pennsylvania Station about a quarter to four. Read a magazine and then you're in Baltimore.
Dinner in the diner, nothing could be finer
than to have your ham and eggs in Carolina.
When you hear the whistle blowing eight to the bar, then you know that Tennessee is not very far.
Shovel all the coal in, gotta keep it rolling.
Ooh, ooh, Chattanooga, there you are.
There's gonna be a certain party at the station.
Satin and lace.
I used to call Funny Face. She's gonna cry until I tell her that I'll never roam.
So Chattanooga, Georgia. choo-choo.
Won't you choo-choo me home?
Chattanooga, Chattanooga.
Get aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga.
All aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga. Chattanooga, choo-choo.
Won't you choo-choo me home?
Chattanooga, choo-choo.
Swing half breed, singing his cow cow boogie in the street.
We started off our set with Glenn Miller and his orchestra with Chattanooga Choo Choo, which was featured in the film Sun Valley Serenade. It was also the first record to be certified as a gold disc with sales of over 1,200,000. For this achievement, Glenn was awarded the first ever gold record presented to him by executives from RCA Victor Bluebird Records. In 1996, Miller's version of Chattanooga Choo Choo was inducted into the Grammy Music Hall of Fame. We also heard from Clarence Albert Poindexter, better known as Al Dexter, with his 1942 hit Pistol Packin' Mama. Legend has it that the inspiration for this song came from a waitress in a roadhouse Dexter owned in East Texas. She was chased through a barbed wire fence by the gun-toting wife of the man she was seeing. Dexter quickly scribbled the words to the song on a paper napkin, and the rest is history. The million-selling recording was a crossover hit with both country and popular music audiences and earned Dexter over $200,000 in royalties. And we closed out the set with the Freddie Slack Orchestra. Slack formed his own band in 1942 when he left the Will Bradley Orchestra and signed with the newly founded Capitol Records. He recorded three songs at the third Capitol recording session on May 21, 1942. His recording of Cow Cow Boogie, sung by the 17-year-old Ella Mae Morse, was the second record Capitol issued on July 1st, and by July 25th, it had reached number one on Your Hit Parade. It was also Capitol's first gold single. He also co-wrote the 1945 classic The House of Blue Lights, which he also recorded with Ella Mae Morse.
Pass the ammunition and we'll all stay free. station. Praise the Lord, and pass the ammunition, and we'll all stay free.
Gather round me, everybody. Gather round me while I preach some. Feel a sermon coming on me. The topic will be sin, and that's what I'm agin. If you wanna hear my story, then settle back and just sit tight while I start reviewing the attitude of doing right. You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum. Bring gloom down to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark,
Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark.
What did they do just when everything looked so dark?
Man, they said we better accept, you ain't the positive event. Might hate the negative and latch on to the affirmative.
Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
No,
don't mess with Mr. In Between.
You gotta spread joy.
You got to accentuate the positive,
yes, yes.
Mind it the negative and latch
on, yes,
to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
No, don't mess with Mr. In
Johnny Mercer and the Pied Pipers with Paul Weston's orchestra and their 1944 million-selling recording of Accentuate the Positive. That was recorded for Capitol Records October 4th, 1944. And we also heard from the K. Kaiser Orchestra and their World War II hit, Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. This patriotic song was written by Frank Lesher as a response to the attack on Pearl Harbor. According to writer Jack S. McDowell, the famous phrase is generally credited to Chaplain Howell Forgy, who was aboard the USS New Orleans during the Japanese attack. An officer in charge of the ammunition line on the USS New Orleans later said, "I heard a voice behind me saying, 'Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.' I turned around and saw Chaplain Forgy walking towards me. He was patting men on the back and making the remark to cheer them up and keep them going." In 1942, a recording by the Mary Max reached number 8 on the Billboard chart. However, it was this version by Kay Kaiser that reached number 1. Lesher donated his royalties from the song to the Navy Relief Society. And if you have any comments, questions, suggestions, or requests for future programs, just send us an email at asacurator@gmail.com. That's asacurator@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at americansoundarchive.com or on Facebook, where you will find information and links to this and previous podcasts. And we close out our program this month with yet another million-selling recording from Capitol Records. Bringing our program to a close is the Stan Kenton Orchestra with June Christie and their 1945 recording of Tampico. I want to thank you so much for listening, and join us next month for another podcast from American Sound Archives.
Mexican art made in Idaho.
Ay, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
The senoritas they wave when you arrive at the dock. The native costumes they wear are slacks and Bobby's socks.
Ay, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
You buy some pottery there to beat the luxury tag. You find that when you get home, they sell it cheaper at Saks.
Aye, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico,
Tampico,
Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico.